So I'm Luca Nussbaum, and I will talk about basically quality assurance. So first, I have to apologize. As you might have seen, DevConf is great because you can discover a lot of different English variants. So you discovered Jurglish, Italish, Spaglish. Spaglish is tomorrow, I think. And today, we discover Friendlish, which is the worst of all. So good luck with understanding me. Okay, at the end of the ETS release cycle, we did quite a lot of QA. We rebuilt the archive several times, and we ran few parts on the whole archive several times. So this resulted in about 200 RC bugs filed and fixed in ETS. Such tests are, I think, a good thing because they allow to give the same level of attention to all package in Debian. And not only to rely on humans to find bugs, they also allow to avoid regression. And maybe the most important is to keep maintainers busy so they know that we are going to release Edge and that there are bugs to fix. But as the release manager said, such tests were run too late in the release process. They caused some package to miss Edge. Many packages are RC bugs against them, and then which weren't fixed, and then they missed Edge, which is a shame. And lots of things weren't tested. So we need to be more efficient and organized during the Lenny release cycle to avoid all of that. So in the first part, I will describe two kinds of tests. For those who attended my first demo talk, it will be quite the same, but then it will be more interesting, I think. So the first, so there are several kinds of QA tests that you can do. First example is to rebuild packages from source. Second example is to run few parts. And there are also other tests like Lintian or Linda, but I don't know them very well, so I won't talk about them. So first, rebuilding packages. The problem is that when you upload a package, it's built, and it's never built again. And packages with architecture all in their control files are only built on the developer's machine. So after the package is uploaded to Debian, the build environment changes. There are new or older compiler versions. Older in the case when the package migrates to testing and the GCC in testing is older than the one in stable. That can happen. Build dependency might not be available anymore. They are not used by Boutonnet for testing propagation. So this leads to problem because everyone should be able to build your package. That's important, for example, for security updates. So there are several tools to rebuild packages. The first one is pbuilder. Who uses pbuilder? Yeah. Who doesn't? Okay. And so pbuilder builds a package inside a shroud. It's very easy to use, and you should use it if you are not, but you are all using it. And there's a talk about it on Saturday afternoon, I think. Then there's SBuild. Also, SBuild is the name of the software used on BuildDiz, but there's also a Debian package which is derived from that code base. It relies on SShroud, so it's a bit harder to set up, but it's much more powerful once it's set up. So another QA test is pwparts. Who doesn't know pwparts? Doesn't know, okay. So pwparts is a tool to test installation removal of packages. Basically, it installs a package in a clean Debian system with nothing. There's just apt and depfoster installed in the shroud when it installs a package, so it allows to check. It's mainly to check the maintainer script that is post-inst, for example. It's that all the that everything you use in post-inst is installed. Pwparts also allow to test other things like upgrades. It can test for running processes after the package removal and other stuff. So now we'll describe a few problems that I ran into while doing those tests. So the first one is that Rebuilding packages takes a lot of time. It takes about 10 days if you use a single computer. Most packages are very fast to build. For example, 90% of packages built in less than 100 seconds. But there are some packages that take a very long time. That's not much surprise. The second one generates fonts. That's why it takes so long. So when I rebuilt the archive, I did it on an HPC grid. So I ran into a problem. I could use 100 nodes if I wanted, but I can't because OpenOffice takes too long. It's useless to use more than 40 nodes because the total time will be bound by the time taken to build OpenOffice. And it's even worse now because the new version of OpenOffice in Unstable builds in about 10 hours now. So now we have multi-cores, we have dual-core laptops, because most builds only use one CPU. So it would be nice to have a common interface to say to the package, to the Debian rules, that it should use several CPUs while building. So there's a bug against Debian policy. So the number is right. It starts with 2, so it was filed a very long time ago. And basically, if you read the bug log, everybody agrees that there should be something like that. There are 2 proposals. And it's a bit like the red backshed problem. Everybody agrees for either one of the other, but nobody decides. And so it would be great if the policy guys would wake up and decide something, so we can just implement that in packages that need that. And for example, there is build times of Linux 2.6. We already provide an interface to build with using several CPUs. So on a quad-core system, see that the speed up is really good. You go from about 5 hours to 1.5 hours. So that's really worth it. And it's not for all packages, only for the ones that would benefit from that, of course. So another problem is pupparts and false positives. So when you run pupparts on the World Archive, you get tons of false positives. You can't do anything about that because they're just packages that, for example, require MySQL to be installed and configured before you install the package. So there's nothing to do about that. But there are still some packages that install non-interactively, that don't allow to be installed non-interactively. That is, they prompt the user using read, for example, in Bash. So depconf is nice because when a package uses depconf, you can use a non-interactive front-end. But it doesn't solve everything. For example, packages that need access to a database, well, that's what I just said. So there's a policy bug against in the starting with 2 that would like to make all packages use depconf except the packages marked essential, because those ones cannot depend on depconf. And this bug log has been quiet for about 1 or 2 years, I think. So that would be a nice release goal for Lenny, maybe. So pupparts, well, there's a lot of things to do about pupparts. First, it's supposed to be maintained collaboratively, but there have not been a lot of activity on that. There's also a donated system called piatti.debian.org, which could be used to run tests. So if you are interested in that, just contact those who maintain pupparts, and they can give you access, and you can help develop pupparts. Because for now, using pupparts, I only filed bug about problem during installation and removals. I haven't tested upgrades, I haven't tested files left after removal. There are lots of things to do with pupparts. So, Carol, I have a question for you. Is the John maintainer or the web calendar maintainer here? Okay, that's good. So, does somebody know what they have in common? No idea? Okay, I can help you. They were both in charge and they are currently in unstable. Both are useful. I use both of them. No idea? Well, none of them are in Edge, actually. Both of them had an RC bug that was fixed after the freeze, before the release, but the maintainer forgot to ask for an unblock. So they are left behind, not in Edge. Many packages actually missed the release. Just before Edge was released, we looked at packages that were in unstable at the time of the freeze in December, maybe 10 days before because of the testing propagation delay. And we looked at those that were not included in Edge, that is, all those who weren't able to get into Edge. So that's 433 packages. And in many cases, the package is fine. It could be in Edge, but there was, for some reason, the maintainers forgot to request an unblock, so it couldn't get from unstable to testing. So there are lots of example bugs for that. So I think that we really need a way to keep maintainers informed about the shape of our packages. So there's DDPO, of course, but which is really nice and very, very useful, but only if you use it. And who regularly read his DDPO page? Who doesn't? Okay. Well, one of you did. So ideally, everybody would use it as start page, but some maintainers don't. I don't understand why. Maybe, I understand. So the idea I'd like to propose today is to send one monthly email to each maintainer with the most important information about his package. The goal is to avoid spamming the maintainer. My idea is to only send a mail when there's a problem and when the problem is an important one. Like open RC bugs, packages that are not in testing, and maybe, but even that I'm not so sure about it, important bugs filed which are tagged patch. So this would be, of course, opt-out, but it can't be opt-in because maintainer wouldn't subscribe to it, so it would be useless if maintainers. Oh, just another poll. Who subscribes to the PTS for his package? Oh, quite a lot. Okay. Because I tried today and I ran into quite a lot of issues. So there would be an in-your mechanism. So you could say, okay, this bug is a dummy bug just to prevent testing propagation. I don't want to hear about that. So I've already done some work on that. And basically, I imported the BTS metadata to PostgreSDB, but I used Bugscan as a base, and there are bugs I have to fix first. Not in Bugscan in my code. So I finally used bts.tomzimmer.net as a source for the list of RC bugs. And I computed the testing status for all packages, that is, for how long a package have not been in testing, because the numbers on the PTS are wrong, actually. So I'm ready to send mails, but I'm still not sure about that. Should I do that? So QA tasks used to be done by motivated individuals. Some people talk about a QA team that's really not a big active QA team like there's a KDE team, for example. And I think that working as a team would help a lot, would bring more fun, and it's also more scalable, which is really important when you have to maintain, when you have to take care of 13,000 packages. So there's a project on iOS called Collab QA, which can be used to share results about QA tests, like rebuilds of the archive or run of pupparts. and to keep the results for history, which is important, so you can get an idea of how the quality of Debian evolves. And it makes things much more fun and efficient, I think, than before. So I have a quote from Luna, who really enjoyed the reporting FTBFS. So inside that project, we already worked on packages that missed Edge, even if that is not finished yet. We worked on several archive rebuilds since, even after the release of Edge, and currently we are up to date until the 14th of June for the all build failures except the unsatisfied dependencies one have been failed. So that's about 400 or 500 RC bugs actually currently. Someone is working on file conflicts between packages, and that there are plans to restart run of runs of pure parts. And also for any idea that you can have that is that you find interesting. For example, the double build tests that were done by with an idea from Martin Zobel was not done inside CollabQA, but we are open to other ideas of this kind. So don't hesitate to join that project. So to conclude, let's make QA rock for Lenny. Let's make Lenny higher quality than Edge was. Please join the Collab QA team and help. So currently, all discussions happen either on IRC, on Debian QA, or on the Debian QA mailing list. So if you subscribe to the mailing list, you should be well informed. And now I have two questions for you. The first one is, what do you think of that DDPO by mail ID? Do you think I should send those mails? Because that's about, actually, I started with quite low, my criteria for the first mail are quite low. That is, the package has to be out of testing for half a year, and must have bugs open. RC bugs open for more than 30 days, and even with that, I get 280 maintainers to mail. That is 280 maintainers that have at least one package in this state. So that's a lot. And I can't reduce that number much. And the other question is, what about a team or working on packages in a questionable state, because that was right during the 15,000 packages buff this morning. So we could have a discussion about that as well. So the idea is that we have too many packages. We have a lot of packages. Many of them are not useful anymore, or just there in the archive they could be removed. And we have no way currently to tell, okay, this package could be removed. Okay, so what do you think?
So on your first question, I'd like to suggest a show of hands. So who thinks that this DDPO by mail is a good idea? Okay.
And who doesn't?
So does anybody think it's a bad idea? Okay. Who thinks that the criteria that Lucas was suggesting are very generous to the maintainers?
Well, the problem is that we aren't really representative of the whole Debian developers. So, I'll probably get flamed, but okay, so be there to counterattack. Okay, so I'll do that. And what do you think of the archive state? Do you think we should work on that, or do you think it's okay to?
Hello? Okay. Maybe on the first question, maybe it's an idea to send a mail to DDA first, announcing that you're going to send these mails, and also provide a place where people can actually read what kind of mails are being sent out. Simply generate them and put them in some directory. Then you can preempt any questions, or just do it.
Okay.
So in terms of repository-wide QA, there is currently a note on the lintian.debian.org page that says don't do mass bug filings based on Lintian tags because the Lintian maintainers will periodically do that. Well, the Lintian maintainers are not periodically doing that. Speaking as one of the active Lintian maintainers, I don't really have time. So if someone would like to volunteer to go explore Lintian tags on the lintian.debian.org site, see which ones might be worth mass bug filings and proceed to go and do that, I think that would be great. It picks up a lot of pretty obvious problems, and it picks up a lot of fairly major problems that I think the maintainer may just not be aware of.
Though it is worth pointing out that not all of the problems that Lintian does throw up are serious problems, so I think Debian Lintian is pretty happy to take questions on whether something is actually relevant.
On a personal comment, like, it's been great fun to actually feel FTBFS bugs. Sorry for those like who has received true and false positive. There have been some false positive with like Python packages, but I think it's really something like this. The main problem is that you rebuild the whole archive and you get like 600 build logs to review, and that's where like Lucas has a problem and has to ask, hey, I need help now that I've rebuilt all that thing in 8 hours with this huge grid of distributed computing, and so it was very easy to jump in. I mean, like it takes maybe 3 or 4 minutes per build logs. Sometimes I did a few checks by myself, like. Tried not to get too much false positive, but still. But it was really something I could do. I don't know. I had like half an hour to kill. Okay, I'm going to do like review 10 or 20 build logs in that time, and it was great fun to do that together. And I mean, like everyone can jump in.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. That's reviewing logs is something that you can do when you just feel bored and you have 30 minutes to lose. You don't have to dedicate 4 hours to that. Just do 30 minutes. You can still review probably 10 bugs for 10 failures. Maybe file 10 RC bugs if you are lucky. And that helps a lot.
About the build logs, I'm wondering in what way, in how far can these build logs be analyzed somewhat automatically? Is there some common problems that you can maybe filter out?
Somebody was doing that for certain common problems like warnings for unsigned versus signed mismatches.
In Fraser in AIF64.
So then I heard then Fraser has done some work on that?
Yeah, he's filtering build logs for AIF64.
Okay. Oh yeah, now I recall having seen that somewhere. So maybe it's an idea to centralize this code, that analyzing code somewhere on Collab QA, for example, so that we can see in what way the workload can be reduced by filtering out some of the common problems. Of course, a lot of things are going to be manually checked because not all failures are the same.
Well, for reviewing build logs, we already have quite a good workflow. I think we have quite efficient at that. But there's place for improvement. But we are quite good at that now. It doesn't take a lot of time to review them.
So I'm wondering if, let's say, I have an idea that I want to test, like rebuilding the whole archive or digging into the whole archive of available.dev. And I would have no idea of where to start for rebuilding the whole archive, and just assuming that I have the needed hardware. So do we have the needed hardware? Yeah. So do we have tools which can be used easily by normal maintainers to try a full rebuild of the archive or something similar?
Well, the problem is that I have scripts to do this, but that's quite specific to the platform I'm using, so you can't really take them. It would be useless to use them elsewhere. But sbuild is really good, and you can just wrap around sbuild basically my script just does that. So
another point is that Luca is available, and if you need a rebuild in specific conditions, just mail him, explain him how to do this build, and he will do it for you. And then you have lots of build logs that you can analyze. I just did that for the new DPKG shlib dev stuff, and you can make sure that your new development is going to work on the whole archive and that you don't break anything. So really use it either to file bug or to test new development. It's cool.
Well, yeah, but... Yeah, that's true. But basically, if you can provide me with a patched sbuild that does what you want, that's perfect. Okay. But even if you don't, I can still... But please don't come to me with just silly ideas and first test for. For example, if you test on 100 packages, it still shows that already shows that it's a good idea.
Quick advertisement, because we scheduled the BOF really late. There is a Lintian BOF Saturday, 2 p.m. There's currently only two people signed up for it, one of which is me. So because it just got scheduled today, but everyone is certainly invited to come talk about Lintian.
Can that squeeze in on Friday? I'll be away somewhere.
No, it's pretty, the schedule stuff.
Sucks for me.
There's another thing that I'd like to mention. So I've been doing some stuff for Canonical which involves having functional tests in packages. Now, we don't really have any packages with functional tests, but the idea is eventually that we'll be able to install every package and actually check to see whether the installed version works at all after you've done that. And there's an interface for that. It's called Auto Package Test, and I'm hoping to be able to be running that on Debian on a regular basis fairly shortly. My hardware's a bit stuffed at the moment, but I'm expecting that to be fixed in the next month or so. And after that, you'll be able to get your package automatically functionally tested, and all you have to do is glue a very small amount of test into the directory according to the spec I've written.
Well, I have a question for you, actually, because about this testing thing, I think that it's a really, really good idea. But I'm wondering why it...
Could you move the microphone? Yeah.
Sorry, I'm wondering why it quite failed to get wide acceptance. There aren't a lot of packages using it currently.
Why it failed to what?
To get wide acceptance amongst the DD in Debian.
Basically because at the moment nobody is running these tests, so I've not been able to go to maintainers and say, hey, look, I plumbed this test in and get a bit of push adoption, because the it's difficult to sell it given that at the moment it doesn't really do very
makes
much.
Makes sense. How many packages are using it?
Sorry?
How many packages are using it currently?
Just the about two packages that are used as test cases. Okay. So it really is nowhere.
Okay.
Which two? Show people.
The one of the packages is Mork, and the other one was something that the Ubuntu security team had some tests for that they already had. So I'm afraid I can't remember the name. Yeah, I think it was. It was Dovecot.
Do you have any
CA? Well, as I say, my hardware's a bit stuffed at the moment. This is going to be unstuffed very soon because it's on the critical bar for lots of other things. I'm hoping to be able to be running it on the archive, on the Debian archive, probably on testing, starting sometime in the next month, maybe.
A bit more on the self-testing packages. There are some packages that actually do a self-test, do running a test suite when they build, and we should include that. One problem I've had with some packages that are written for i386, when you introduce the self-tests later on, it often fails on some architectures. Gnash is an example. I tried to convince Miriam to enable it by default and make it a fatal error. But it's a bit late to do it when it's already built on all the architectures and half of them start to fail and then it stops propagating into testing. How can we actually handle these test cases where some architectures were never actually intended to work with the program and they are still in the archive and
it's a real pain to get the FTP masters to drop the architectures and get the package into testing.
I think if a package is not actually working, then that's a perfectly legitimate reason for it not to be in testing. It's if the devs are stuffed, if there are minor problems that don't really affect the core functioning of the package, that's one thing. But in many cases, this is just that it's completely broken on that architecture, and I think having to cope with either fixing it or getting FTP master to remove it is okay in that case.
Right. So
it is some work.
I certainly agree with what Colin said. Also, I'm trying to do post-hoc testing, and that does mean that you don't discover it before the package is built, but it also means that if something in the package's dependencies causes that package to no longer work, you will discover it. So Debian has pretty high quality standards anyway, and the regression rate is generally quite low. So I'm hoping that testing packages after they've been built and put into testing is a useful thing to be doing, because the failure rate at that stage will be low enough that you won't regret very much catching these problems at that late stage.
But then you get the problem of being able to test enough package so that it makes sense. So it's a bit of a chicken and egg problem. So. No other comments? Okay, so I think we can all go have dinner.